Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, we have some huge religious freedom news, and I guess since it's coming out of the Trump administration, we should say huge, Y-U-G-E, some huge religious freedom news, and actually three big religious freedom stories that are, gratifying to see that in the midst of all the bad news stories that we're getting. So I want to get through that and share that with you. And then the leader of the second largest congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, Reverend Shannon Johnson Kirshner, she's in Chicago. She has an interesting to say something interesting to say about how you get to heaven. And so I'm going to implore you when I get to that story, if you're still attending a PC USA church, I think the time has long been gone that you should stop attending, stop supporting, stop giving them your money, stop serving them at all. And because it's just so far away from a biblical understanding and a biblical worldview that it's not a church. I mean, it's a social club. It's a social organization that claims Christianity. But when you deny the biggest tenet of the faith, what is that? What does that make you? Are you still you're a church with air quotes if you're watching on Facebook Live right now, facebook.com/C2A Radio, as in called to action, facebook.com/C2A Radio. You can get to us there doing Facebook Live right now, or the homepage always at C2AToday.com. And I'm air quoting that the PC USA is a air quote church anymore, and like most Episcopalian churches, and in some degree, some level of the Methodist churches, and some other things out there, mainline denominations. Just troubling the more you see their doctrine just running away at high speed from Christian doctrine, from the Word of God. It's just, how long do you stay with that? And support the organization at large. I don't think you can at all. That's actually why, for me as a Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, and trying to attend to the Bible, and obviously I fall short in so many different ways and can be a hypocrite myself, but that doesn't affect the veracity of the Scriptures. And so, just like for me, is it an option for somebody with a biblical worldview to be able to vote for a Democrat? Well, not when you consider the Democrat Party platform is completely off the reservation when it comes to gender and sexual ethics, when it comes to homosexual marriage, things like that. But also on the abortion issue, even bigger. And a huge supporter, huge proponent of abortion and women's right to reproductive health and all that garbage mislabeling of reality. And that's a huge part of the party platform. And how can you possibly vote for anybody that flies underneath that flag that's soaked in the blood of the unborn to the tune of about 60 million babies at this point? And I'm a little torqued off on that issue because I was teaching two ethics classes yesterday. And we were talking about abortion. So I always get upset when I go down that road. And I think we all should when we consider those things. And hey, listen, Cain kills Abel, right? Let's go all the way back to the first book of the Bible. Cain kills Abel, and it says in Genesis that that the blood of Abel cried out to God from the ground. So Abel's blood cried out to God from the ground because it had been shed in a sinful way, right? That was not innocent. Cain killed, he murdered his brother. So that's enough to bring God down, right, to look for Cain. And that's when we get the old, hey, my brother's keeper. That's one. That's the blood of one person. What do you think the blood of 60 million unborn children sounds like, emanating from sea to shining sea? And the fact that if take all the other stuff, all the other issues, financial issues, national security issues, what do you do with the poor issues, welfare issues, take all that stuff, set it all aside, because none of that is as egregious as the willful and profitable murder of 60 million babies in the womb. Some of those pulled 3/4 of the way out of the womb. So that alone, for me, you just go, okay, you can't do it. I don't think you can do it with a clean conscience. And I'm a registered independent, by the way. So be careful not to, you know, get your bayonet going on me, think I'm just a stupid Republican. I'm an independent. And the Republicans do plenty of things wrong, too. But they don't do that wrong, at least not on paper, not in their actual stated party platform. So like that, with the Presbyterian USA Church, as they start going away so far from Scripture, you just go, that's not a church anymore, and you shouldn't be a part of it. Anyway, let me get off my barnstorming rant there. Let me jump right into this one, and then I want to get to your call today. If you want to get some tickets to Called to Worship, by the way, Friday, October 27th, 7 p.m. here in Raleigh. That's our once-a-year worship event and fundraiser. It's the only real public event we do every year. We'll give away more tickets today. Just need your name, your email, and how many tickets you would like, and we will hook you up. Call Howard, and he'll take care of you. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to get some free tickets to the Call to Worship event, Friday, October 27th. Okay, here's the first one. From Fox News, Trump administration rolls back, praise the Lord, Obamacare contraceptive mandate. Yes, that's exactly what drove Hobby Lobby to go against the government, and praise the Lord, they won. But this is a huge move. The ACLU is already saying they're gonna sue the Trump administration, which is nothing new for Donald Trump. But here's the story. The Trump administration on Friday announced a major rollback of the Obamacare contraceptive mandate, granting what officials called full protection to a wide range of companies and organizations that claim a religious or moral objection to providing the coverage. By early afternoon, the ACLU announced it was filing a lawsuit challenging the change, of course. The original mandate, which already has been the subject of multiple legal challenges, required employers that provide health insurance to cover contraceptives. Under the existing policy, that would also be like RU486, the day after pill, Plan B, all that kind of stuff. Under the existing policy, churches and houses of worship were exempt, while religious affiliated groups that object had to allow a third-party administrator or insurer to handle birth control coverage, so they had to outsource it. The 2014 Hobby Lobby decision expanded exemptions to for-profit, quote-unquote, closely held corporations. But under the new policy unveiled Friday, the Trump administration is expanding the protections to any nonprofit group, non-publicly traded company, or higher education institution, which is huge, with religious or moral objections, and making the third-party provision optional for groups that with sincerely held religious beliefs. No American, quote, no American should be forced to violate his or her own conscience in order to abide by the laws and regulations governing our healthcare system, unquote, said HHS Press Secretary Caitlin Oakley. She went on to say, today's actions affirm the Trump administration's commitment to upholding the freedoms afforded all Americans under our Constitution. Oh, that's right. We have religious freedom and the right to conscience under the U.S. Constitution. For some people, that still applies. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. You made me fly. You're not easy, love. How could you lie? Not easy, love. But I need you still. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Yes, you haven't heard that song before on Call to Action Radio, but I was just telling my friends on Facebook Live, there was a gal that was on the show. This was probably, gosh, maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and her name was Georgetta, and she was from Moldova, and she had been trying to make money for her family and was traveling around with another gal trying to do some work and make some money, and she was pregnant at the time. She got kidnapped, sold into sex slavery. It was an unbelievable story. She eventually escaped. And one of her daughters reached out to me on Facebook and has a friend that you just heard singing, was like, hey, you know, Mr. Steve, would you please play this on your show? And you know, there's a connection there. And, you know, you have a radio platform, and obviously we're not a music station, but and this isn't a music show. But I thought, you know what? It's not my platform. And if I can bless somebody on the other side of the world whose mom was such a blessing to me and the radio show, I said, okay, let's do it. So that's what you're hearing today. Kind of cool. It's a friend of hers. His name is Digon, D-I-G-O-N. And you can find him on YouTube, but that's what you're hearing today when we hit the breaks. But we're talking about the different religious freedom. The big one that came out of the administration earlier today on Friday was rolling back the mandates through Obamacare for contraception. And so that's why one of the reasons Hobby Lobby said no way that we're going to follow that and sued and eventually won. And so that's a huge turnaround that President Trump following through on one of his campaign promises that he's going to be a champion for religious liberty. And so far he has been. And I praise the Lord for that. There's a lot of things about Donald Trump I don't like, I don't appreciate. There's other things that I do. I've always said, for the last year, with him winning the primary and then, you know, in the general and then obviously becoming the president. For me, as a conservative Christian, I always thought he'd be about a 60-40 presidency. 60% I'd like, 40% I wouldn't. And I think that he's tracking right along with that right now. He's doing a great job when it comes to religious liberty. Here's another one. So his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, issued legal guidance on Friday. And by the way, if you want to grab some free tickets today to Called to Worship, that's our once a year annual fundraiser and worship event. Matt Papa will be there, the Upper Room Praise Team. That's Bishop Wooden's church, my slightly older brother from another mother. It's always just completely off the hook. I asked one of my buddies that a Friday morning Bible study this morning. Okay, his name's Lewis Alexander. I love the guy. He's awesome and loud. That's why I like him. And I said, Lewis, on a scale from 1 to 10, how powerful is the Call to Worship event? Because God shows up every time. And he goes, I'd say about a 14. So it really is. It's a unique event. Super powerful night of praise and worship. And now there's so much darkness in our world and in our country and all the racial divides, we're going to have a really, really mixed crowd because we've got people that normally come to Call to Worship. And we had a much more diverse crowd last year, which was awesome. And it's going to be even more so because we're going to the Upper Room, which is Bishop Wooden's church, which is almost entirely black. But we're going to mix that praise and worship together with Matt Papa. We'll have some awesome testimony, an onstage interview with me and Bishop Wooden and our great Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. So that's Friday, October 27th. And yes, I'm going to keep talking about it between now and October 27th because I want you to be there. It's a huge blessing. Plus the radio ministry. Yes, I need your help financially, but you will be blown away by how powerful this night is. It has been every year for the past 3 years. This is our fourth one. So Friday, October 27th here in Raleigh. Free tickets today and every day up until that point. 866-348-7884 is the number. Just give us a call. We'll get your name, your email, how many tickets you want, and then we'll take care of it online. 866-348-7884, because I love you and care about you and want to bless you and your friends and your family, as many people as you want to bring. 866-34-TRUTH. So give us a call before the end of the show and we'll get you hooked up for some free tickets for that. Super important. And I want to, if we have never met face to face, and most of us haven't, I would love that opportunity as well. Okay. Attorney General Jeff Sessions issued legal guidance Friday directing federal agencies on how to protect religious liberty in employment, contracting, and programming as they execute federal laws. Okay. This is another expansion, a return to the religious liberty that our founding fathers believed in and enshrined in the First Amendment. Okay. The guidance follows President Trump's May 4th executive order directing the agencies to respect and protect religious liberty and political speech made by both individuals and organizations. The 25-page memo maps out 20 guiding principles, reminding agencies that freedom of religion is a fundamental right and that the free exercise of religion includes the right to act or abstain, that's important, from action in accordance with one's religious beliefs. Among the principles outlined in the guidance is that certain religious organizations are entitled to hire, this is so important, are entitled to hire only people whose beliefs and conduct are consistent with their employer's religious precepts. It states, as an example, that a Lutheran school may choose to employ only practicing Lutherans, only practicing Christians, or only those who adhere to a code of conduct consistent with the precepts of the Lutheran community sponsoring the school, which, by the way, I would expect any organization to be able to do that. Otherwise, you're not an individual, unique organization. You can't have any guidelines whatsoever. That's ridiculous. It's not an organization then. It's just like a public park. So it doesn't work. It also said religious organizations may be exempt from following certain discrimination laws if doing so would conflict with the organization's religious principles. That's why the gender issue is so difficult and such a challenge, because you could say, hey, listen, we hire people that come work in our Christian preschool based on religious tenets and religious faith and biblical doctrine. And so a man who thinks he's a woman shows up and dresses like a woman and wants to get a job there. They obviously don't agree with the biblical doctrine. They need help. And you should be able to say, no, thank you. I'm going to protect our children. We're trying to teach a biblical worldview here. You don't agree to that or subscribe to that or try to live by that. And so we can't allow you in here. And that's just religious freedom, and it's common sense. So I'm so glad to see them taking this action. Sessions also sent a memo to the Department of Justice directing all United States attorney's offices to immediately begin incorporating the guidance in litigation strategy and arguments, operations, grant administration, and all the other aspects of the department's work. So another hats off moment to the Trump administration. That is great. Here's one more. And then second half of the show, I want to talk about the gun issue in Las Vegas. Okay, so get ready to call in on that one. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to know from you, do you think gun control is really something that we need to expand and do more of in response to the Las Vegas tragic shootings? Is gun control the answer? And then what about this handy-dandy little connecting thing, a stock barrel, whatever they call it, that allows you to basically fire a semi-automatic weapon as if it were fully automatic? So you can chime in on that as well. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, if you want free tickets to Call to Worship. So here's one more big religious freedom story. This one's really dicey. It's out of Mississippi. Supporters of gay marriage in Mississippi are planning to file an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court in a last-ditch bid to stop a sweeping religious freedom law from taking effect next week. House Bill 1523, also known as the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act, was passed and signed into law last year. Its implementation was delayed after court challenges, but the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit has refused to keep delaying the law. The measure is considered one of the most far-reaching state laws of its kind after same-sex marriage became legal more than 2 years ago. By the way, this also brings up the issue of federalism. Not many of you know that I teach Constitution and Civics to high school-age homeschoolers. It's called Foundations of Freedom. We're actually going to make that available online by the end of the year. But federalism was designed by our founding fathers in the Constitution to have a limited federal government, an expansive and rather independent state government. That's federalism. Well, starting with the Civil War and everything since then, federalism has basically died on the vine. And so we have a massive federal government and state governments that don't have much control. Hey, I'm Brant. And it's looking very weird that you will look to me. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Talking through a bunch of religious liberty things, but I'm going to turn the corner here in just a second and would like to hear from you. Of course, ever since Sunday night in the Las Vegas shooting, massacre, tragedy, it's just horrific. And there's all kinds of crazy theories out there. And we're talking about bump stocks and gun control and automatic weapons and mental health and health, mental health care and all of that stuff. It's all on the table now, of course, as we always do when it comes to a mass shooting. But my question for you for the rest of the show, and I'm going to finish up these two other stories real quick, but I want you to call in and tell me, where do you think gun control, more gun control, a specific gun control for something like these bump stocks, which allowed him to shoot his semi-automatic weapons as if they were basically machine guns, do you think that's going to answer the problem? Do you think that's going to help in America to cut down on these mass shootings and this type of violence? Or do you think it's just a bunch of political hot air? What do you think about gun control versus what just happened, this terrible tragedy in Las Vegas? 866-348-7884. I really want to hear what you're thinking on this one. Value your input and your opinion. 866-348-7884 as to whether you think gun control can really, more gun control or better gun control can really help deter these types of mass killings and tragedies in America. 866-348-7884. Is gun control the answer? 866-34-TRUTH. So I was talking about what was going on down in Mississippi, House Bill 1523. And what it's there is the law would protect court clerks who use religious objections to recuse themselves from issuing marriage licenses to gay couples. It would also protect businesses who deny services to the LGBT community. And what they're talking about specifically would be you own a cake shop or you're a photographer or you have a wedding reception venue and you don't want to rent it out to people or you don't want to provide services to people if they're going to use it or your services for a quote-unquote gay marriage. And so that's what in Mississippi they're saying. No, it's going to protect everybody that you're not forced to do that. Republican Governor Phil Bryant says it aims to protect those who fear being punished for their religious beliefs. The Mississippi Center for Justice, along with Lambda Legal, a national legal organization that advocates for the civil rights of the LGBT community, are now in the process of appealing the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. If they don't get it done, then it'll go into effect on October 10th. And whether they stop the launch on October 10th, they're not going to stop the assault on that. So that's going to keep coming. But Mississippi, you know, kudos to them for pushing back on federal power and federal overreach, not to mention the religious freedom exercise that's part of this. But I'm talking about just generally pushing back against the federal government and it's basically implementing its policies on a state and local level. And the reason that the federal government can get away with that, and we've seen so much of the eradication of federalism, is because of money. Now, let me just jump in here and tell you what happened. Starting in the Civil War, federalism started to erode because we went to war against ourselves in the Civil War, which concentrated more power in Washington, D.C. And when Washington, D.C. gets more power and gets bigger and more expansive, it doesn't come back from it. So you had the Civil War is where that started. Then you had World War I. We're concentrating more power in D.C. Then you had the Great Depression. And that's on the heels of the 16th Amendment when the federal government started collecting the federal income tax. So all of a sudden, the federal government gets cash rich back in those days. Then the Great Depression hits and states are running out of money, can't take care of their own people, so they go crying home to mama. In this case, mama is the federal government. And the federal government says, okay, we'll help you. And that's when you get into the New Deal and all that kind of stuff. But we'll help you, but now there's going to be strings attached to our help. So that's when you get into the whole world of block grants and grants and aid. And now there's strings attached to money that the states want from the federal government. Then the states could get hooked on federal money because they need it coming out of the Great Depression. Then the federal government gets even bigger during World War II. The states need even more money as they begin to build out their services. And now they can access federal cash. And then the whole thing just builds on itself. So now to your point where there's so much money coming out of the federal government into the state coffers, into the state budgets, that they're just used to it. They're absolutely hooked on it. It's like kids living in their parents' basement until they're 45. You become completely hooked on the help. And then you do what the feds say you have to do in order to get the money. And that's how our federal government institutes its policies on the state and local level, by using the purse strings. And that's what's happened in our country, which is why we all need to pray and vote. 50% of Christians are not registered. Only 25% vote in a presidential election, only 12% in an off-year election, and only 5% in a primary. Totally pathetic. Okay, leader of the second largest congregation in the Presbyterian Church, USA, Reverend Shannon Johnson Kirshner, has declared that Christianity is not the only way to heaven. Kirshner, 45, who leads the 5,500-member Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago, expressed her belief in a podcast. She was asked the question, is Christianity the only way to heaven? No, Kirshner replied bluntly. God's not a Christian. I mean, we are. For me, the Christian tradition is the way to understand God and my relationship with the world and other humans, and it's for the way for me to move into that relationship. But I'm not about to say that God can and cannot do in other ways and with other spiritual experiences, she explained. The Christian Post reached out to Kirshner's office. Of course, there was no further comment. The Presbyterian Church USA, watch, they preach, as an organization, quote, the sovereignty of God, the authority of the scriptures, justification by grace through faith, and the priesthood of all believers. Okay, that sounds good. Our knowledge of God and God's purpose for humanity comes from the Bible, particularly what is revealed in the New Testament through the life of Jesus Christ, the church declares. That sounds good. But what you put on paper and what you declare doesn't necessarily mean anything. So let's go to this Presbyterian panel survey from 2012 to 2014. Check this out. And this is why I think if you go to a Presbyterian Church USA, you need to get out. Get out of there. 45% of PCUSA pastors strongly disagree that only followers of Jesus Christ can be saved. Sorry, Jesus. I don't care that you said I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father except through you. John 14:6. I don't care that. In Acts 4:12, the Apostle Peter said of Jesus, salvation is found in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved. He wrote on and on and on, okay? But the Presbyterian Church USA, at least 45% of their pastors, they don't agree with Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus. You're wrong. Get over yourself. You're not the only way. 45% of Presbyterian USA pastors polled said Jesus isn't the only way. There's other ways to heaven. Listen, I would agree with the way Pastor Greg Laurie handles it. He says, listen, this may surprise you to know that I believe all roads do lead to God. Every single road, all roads, every religion, they all lead to God. But only one road leads to Jesus Christ. Only one road leads to heaven, and that goes through Jesus Christ. Everybody's It is appointed for a man to die once and then face judgment, right? That's everybody. Everybody dies. Everybody faces judgment. Everybody faces judgment in front of a holy God. Therefore, every single path that you can take, atheist, agnostic, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Baha'i, Islam, whatever. Everybody on the planet, all 7.3 billion of us are going to stand before God one day. You will face judgment. And there's only one way, however, to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said it, the revealed will of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Is that exclusive? Yes, it is. Is that unfair? No, it isn't. It's unbelievably gracious because there's a way at all. For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The PCUSA, 45% of their pastors say, yeah, no. Sorry, don't agree. Okay, so what do you make of gun control on the heels of Las Vegas? 866-348-7884. Is more gun control the answer, or is it just a bunch of bloviating, politicizing of a tragedy? What do you think? I can sit here and talk for the next 20 minutes, but I don't want to. I want to hear from you. So please give me a call so that we can kind of work through this together. 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Now, one of the other things we're talking about in this conversation are these bump stocks. So I found an article from the National Review that says treat bump stocks like machine guns. I looked it up the other day, watched some videos. This is basically a contraption that you can put on your semi-automatic gun, like an AR-15 or whatever, that works in such a way that it essentially provides a way for the trigger to get pulled and the thing for to fire basically like a machine gun. And I'm watching it as a guy that's fired some guns and likes to go skeet shooting. I'm watching it going, okay, yeah, I could see how that's kind of cool. It's kind of fun to play with, and it's on your property, and you're a normal person, and you just want to have some fun with that. Okay. But on the other hand, I'm looking at it going, yeah, that seems a little extreme. Like, you have a right to have fun, but, and I was talking to my students the other day, where are you going to draw the line between personal liberty and public safety? But that's a big issue now. And even the NRA, that's really shocked me, is it looks like they're getting ready to talk about it. Let's jump over to LJ, who's calling in from North Carolina. LJ, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. Hey, LJ. I had LJ. Let me try to get him back before we hit a commercial break. Hey, LJ, are you there? Okay. Hey, Howard, just try to figure that out. I was trying to pull LJ up, but couldn't get him there. But I want to jump through your calls when we come back in the last segment of the show. 866-348-7884. Is more or better or more specific gun control the answer to what happened in Las Vegas? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. If you call in, we'll try to make sure we get you on the air, but let's be brief because we only have one more segment to go. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action, here on a good Friday. Every Friday is a good Friday, is it not? I mean, we get all juiced up at Christmas. We get all juiced up at Easter. We get all juiced up at Good Friday. We get all juiced up for Lent. But shouldn't we kind of, I mean, those are nice. I mean, obviously, what we commemorate on those days is super important. But and sometimes it just bugs me that we have special occasions for being especially excited about being found and forgiven and washed in the blood. And I'm just like, you know, okay, shouldn't every Friday be a good Friday? And shouldn't we thank God that it's Friday and then Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? This is the day that Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, whether you feel it or not. 866-348-7884. Great to be with you today. 866-34-TRUTH. Is more gun control going to help, or is that could that be detrimental? Could that make it you have less good people with guns? You're going to have more bad people with guns running free willy-nilly in the streets. And is that going to make things worse? Let's go over to William is calling in from Truth Radio in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. William, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go ahead. Yeah, see, I've got that problem again, Howard. So I'm going to jump over to Reed on line 3. Reed, you're on with Steve and Call to Action. Go ahead.
Hello. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Of course, I'm calling about the gun control situation, but yeah, I definitely think, and I'm all for people having rifles, shotguns, even handguns, but when you get to either semi-automatic, automatic weapons, or anything that can turn something into a automatic weapon, I think that those things should be illegal. I definitely have a problem with the fact that the bump stock sales have skyrocketed after basically a slaughter. The mentality of our society that can see what can happen, that yeah. you can shoot 600 people from 400 yards away, 32 floors up. You can do that, and you see what happened, and you say, I want to have that ability to do that. As a person that is very much pro-life through and through from beginning to the end, I also think that pro-lifers should be on the side of people like myself that believes that things like these bump stocks should be completely illegal. And it really just kind of shows, in my opinion, how just depraved we are as a yeah. nation.
Well, of course, and I think that goes to the heart of it when you use the word depraved. No matter what laws we pass, none of that's going to change the human heart. And I don't think, listen, we could outlaw all guns, bump stocks or not, and you're still going to have people that are evil and twisted and mentally unstable that are going to get their hands on weapons. I mean, he could have just as easily have gotten his hands on an 18-wheeler or a large truck and just slammed into that crowd. And then the thinking that comes up at that point, Reed, and I appreciate where you're coming from, is, well, you know, if we outlaw, how do we outlaw people having trucks? I mean, the bump stock thing, I mean, I tell you, when I watched it online, I'm like, yeah, I get that some people would look at that and go, oh, that'd be kind of fun. But the other side of me is like, yeah, that seems a little over the top. But then I have to rub up against personal privacy and the Second Amendment, which doesn't explicitly talk about those types of things. And that's, listen, this is the political process. We have to debate these things and eventually have a compromise.
Absolutely. But I mean, when we look at history, like they had to basically self-police during the days of the amendment. Like, everything was rural. We didn't have inner cities and that sort of thing.
Right,
so
right.
It was a completely different environment.
Exactly.
From what it is today. But you're absolutely right. Like, there's no law that is going to change a person's heart. But we can say it's just like with racism. Like, there's no law that can outlaw racism.
That's right. Great.
But
point.
If you kill somebody while screaming some derogatory term, then we do have laws in those situations as well. So I just think that at least we know that if you're a law-abiding citizen, which everybody's saying that that's who it's going to affect, but still, if you're a law-abiding citizen, turn in the bump stocks or anything illegal and just make it more difficult for the bad guys to get them, and then we can prosecute them accordingly.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point to make. Reed, thanks so much for calling and listening today. And to go, hey, listen, should we be willing to set aside some of our own personal rights to try to make it harder for people that would do ill, like this guy did, like the bump stock, and say, well, I have a right to it, but maybe we should curtail that a little. But how many other mass shootings have involved a bump stock? I don't think any, as far as I know. And in Europe, and look at Chicago. Now, we can talk about this psychopath and the bump stock all day long, but in Chicago, where they have some of the strongest gun laws in the country, they also have the worst gun violence. And so gun laws, which I think always make us, I mean, I think a lot of people instantaneously react emotionally and go, okay, yeah, we need to curb that. But evil's always going to find a way until Jesus comes back. And then you got that balance between personal liberty and freedom and safety. And the more you want safety, I'm like blanket safety, the more you're going to have to sacrifice personal liberty and freedom. And that's why we have a political process to debate these things. Let's try to get to William over there in Winston-Salem. William, around with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Steve? Hey,
man, much, man,
I just want to let everybody know that it's not the guns that's actually doing all this harm. It's the sinfulness in man's heart, you know. And anybody can use whatever they want to cause harm to other people. And I mean, with the bump stocks and stuff like that, man, you can do that with a rifle without a bump stock and without modifying it to fire fully automatic. I didn't know if y'all knew that or not. But you can use your finger and have the same effect.
Yeah, you can pull pretty darn quick, I would imagine. I mean,
yeah,
I've only shot some handguns, and I shoot shotguns to go skeet shooting and stuff. I've never shot a semi-automatic like an AR-15.
Right. But the thing is, if we disarm America, I mean, the law-abiding citizens are going to be defenseless while the criminals are going to get them anyway.
Right, right.
You know, they're always going to have them because I'm pretty sure heroin's illegal and people still use that every day.
That's exactly right.
You know,
yep.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's just the sinfulness of man's heart and it's just evil. And you yep. can't, you know, you can't take that away from man until the second coming. But the thing is if they take away my guns, I can't protect my family like I need to. And if I have some crazy man bust through my door, yep. I'm defenseless. And that's just not right because that's yep. not what our country's founded on.
Exactly right. I agree with that. Great points there, William. Thanks so much for calling in. And Howard, my more than capable producer, bringing up a great point. You go back to the days of the Second Amendment. Okay, this is happening right after the Constitution was originated, 1789. And the people involved in writing the Constitution from the 13 different colonies were like, hey, you know, how are we going to guarantee ourselves that the government's not going to get big and overpowered and totally depraved like King George III in Great Britain? Well, we got to have, before we sign this thing, we got to have a Bill of Rights. We got to have some way to protect ourselves. And in 1789, were there semi-automatic weapons? Nope. Nothing. Nothing like that. Were Gatling guns? Nope. Nothing. There were muzzle loaders and there was rifling then. So it got more accurate, but you weren't shooting fast. So we have to remember that. That's a great point that Howard makes is that we move forward. But again, the nature of that law is to allow any person in America, number one, to protect themselves from the possible tyranny of the federal government. And that's what our founding fathers were coming out of. That's what they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Many of them died broke. They paid that ultimate price because they picked a fight with the biggest superpower on the planet. And by the way, and I'm almost done reading Killing England by Bill O'Reilly, and he points out historically accurate that for England, they were looking at the loss of their kingdom all over the world because all of a sudden these upstart colonists get all haughty and they disobey us and they're going to just claim that they're completely on their own. What's to stop all of our other colonies from doing the same? So that was a brutal, bloody war, 6-7 years. And so all founding fathers are like, you got to have people. And most people in America were armed because they were, you know, providing their own food. There were cities, of course. But back then it was all about the ability to defend yourself from an oppressive government. But then we move fast forward, and some of our callers made a couple of great points about, hey, we didn't have massive urban areas like we do now, and we didn't have semi-automatic weapons back then like we do now. But again, this is the part of the political process, and I know we can get emotional on either sides of it, and there's great points to make. But part of the political process is you've got these two lines that work against each other. One is personal freedom and liberty. The other one is safety, public safety. The more you want public safety, this is what happened after 9/11. The more you say, hey, we got to protect ourselves from terrorists, then the NSA goes, okay, well, we need to start collecting more data so that we can find out how did these 19 people get in here and get private pilot's licenses and get some commercial training and do all this different stuff, and we didn't catch that. We need to collect more data. And so all of a sudden, your tweets and your Facebook posts and your phone and your text messages are being gathered by the NSA. You say you want more protection, well, you're going to have less liberty and less freedom. That is the deal. That is as real in America as gravity. That's just a formula that you cannot escape. And so we look at this situation and go, how many people would he have killed if he didn't have bump stocks? You know what? It would have been a lot because our last caller made a great point. You could sit there with a semi-automatic weapon, pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull the trigger, pull the trigger. Now, his went faster than that, but he still could have killed tons of people. And gun laws don't stop psychos from getting guns, unfortunately. And so we have to remember that balance. And ultimately, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to remember that the only thing that's going to change anybody's heart is Jesus Christ himself. That's why while we're dealing with all this and debating all these things and engaging in these governmental and policy issues, we must always be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that turns a hater into a lover and that brings peace. It's the gospel. That's why we have to continue to share the gospel. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. It's been great being with you this week, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.